I have done years of research on what you might call horrible headless horsemen. And headless horsemen are a very odd phenomenon in general, because it's not very often you have a human ghost attached to an animal ghost. And there's something very mysterious about that entire concept. And, of course, also the legend of Sleepy Hollow is, you know, it's such an iconic piece of early Americana. And even though that particular story was supposedly fictional, it was based upon real people, a real place. And there are other incidents in which people claim they see real headless horsemen all the time. And I find it interesting as well that if you look back at some of the earliest accounts, even in the 1700s, there was a folklorist named Karl Musaus in Germany, and he recorded many of these German and Scandinavian legends about headless horsemen. And the story behind these types of ghosts is always pretty much the same. Generally, they are a product of wars. In a typical scenario, you have some kind of an officer. He's in the emotional frenzy of battle, and suddenly he literally loses his head. And, of course, this could be a sword, cannonball. And afterward, he kind of exists in this delirious state of confusion. And the way I look at it, if you think right now how you might feel if someone just came up behind you and tossed a black bag over your head, there would be this sort of instant claustrophobic confusion and panic that would set in. And I think that's what happens to these men who suddenly become headless right in the middle of a war. So here they are as ghosts. They're attacking blindly, angrily at whatever is before them. They can't discern friend from foe. And that also is a terrifying thought, that these beings in some way lack the judgment to even determine whether or not they should attack you. And, of course, that's one of the reasons that I think headless horsemen are so peculiar as well.
Are people chased by these things?
Yes, they certainly are. And, you know, that is something that I find quite curious, because when it comes to these headless horsemen tales, there are two things about them which are really weird. One is, of course, the very fact that they ride horses. And if you think about this and you break it down now, if a man gets killed when he's riding on a horse, why should the horse ghost come back with the man if the horse did not necessarily die with the man? Now, that makes sense if we're just looking at some kind of an imprint, some kind of a glimpse of the past. But, as you just said or suggested, in many cases, these do seem to be interactive, aware. They do chase people. They do seem to be attached to the geography of the road that they pass on. And so it makes us wonder, what is it about this attachment between the man and the horse that sort of binds them together for all eternity? And the most basic tenet of many of these headless horseman stories is that when the horseman chases you, you better do everything you can to make it over water. Because if you cross a bridge, then the horseman will sort of dematerialize when he reaches that water. And that sounds very superstitious on one hand, but we know, of course, that ghostly phenomena seems to be attached to electromagnetic energy. Something electrostatic helps these things sort of materialize. And, of course, running water is a great conductor, and it changes the electrical frequencies. So it may very well be that if you get near water, many of these sort of unusual, bizarre, ghostly energy fields will just kind of disappear. And all that said, in fact, I think it's very interesting in general when you start looking at the culture that's built up at a place like Sleepy Hollow, where people know specifically this is the area you have to make it to. You know, I have a friend, C. Eric Scott, who's a filmmaker. And he and another friend, J. Scott Smith, they went up to Sleepy Hollow last year for Halloween. And they actually interviewed the caretaker of the cemetery and the town historian and the mayor. And I thought it was amazing to see that this place in upstate New York there, it looks exactly like it looks in the Walt Disney cartoon. You know, it's got that same sort of old, secluded, rustic feel. And And I've even got some clips. I've been putting them up for a Halloween treat there on my website. And so you can go there and see for yourself the caretaker describing, here is where the Headless Horseman's grave is, and so on. And that's at joshuapwarren.com. But in my study of these things, I have been looking for any evidence I can get that goes beyond stories to show us what a horse ghost might actually look like. And you'd mentioned earlier that Lex has got one posted there at coasttocoastam.com. Mm-hmm. And by looking at horse ghost imagery, it takes us one step closer to understanding what in the world these headless horsemen are actually like, whether we're talking about the one at Sleepy Hollow or we're talking about some of the ones in England and Germany. And the horse ghost photo that you have posted there at coasttocoastam.com, and also I have a further analysis at joshuapwarren.com, is from Lancaster, South Carolina. And the woman who took that photo is named Lynn Jackson. And Lynn was, well, she had a pony named Noah, and he died. And he just kind of dropped dead. It was very mysterious, very sad. He was a healthy horse, she thought, at the time. And afterward, he started appearing, literally running through her house at night, a place where, of course, he was never allowed to go when he was alive. And when you look at that picture, George, do you see what kind of appears to be the profile of a horse?
It's weird. It is.
Yeah. And, of course, I in some of my analysis, I actually have these overlaid with sketches of horses to show anatomically how that she feels it matches up. But when it comes to understanding the difference between how a horseman or a horse ghost looks to the naked eye versus the way it might appear in a picture, I found a really early reference to one of these horseman ghosts. It goes all the way back to the year 1400 in England, Herne the Hunter. Herne the Hunter was this forest keeper for King Richard II, and he was this big, rugged outdoorsman. He wore furs. He had some type of a cap that had antlers on it. And he would ride around on a great steed as a very intimidating figure, protecting the king's property. Well, eventually, he committed suicide by hanging himself from an oak tree. It's said that he failed somehow in his duty, or that he had committed some type of an offense that he knew was far beneath him. And so after killing himself there, to this day, people still see this horseman riding around in that forest. Even Shakespeare wrote about it in 1599 in his book, The Merry Wives of Windsor, or his story, I should say. But my favorite description of that ghost comes from 1843. There was an author named W. Harrison Ainsworth, and he wrote this, and I think this is a great way of sort of imagining how some of these horseman-type apparitions look when you see them. He wrote, quote, "When you see Herne the Hunter, he is a wild, spectral object, possessing a slight resemblance to a human being, clad in the skin of a deer and wearing on its head a sort of helmet formed of the skull of a stag, from which branched a large pair of antlers. It was surrounded by a blue phosphoric light." And when you hear that description, it's to me a bit unsettling, because this spectral object possesses that resemblance to a human being, and yet you know you're looking at something that isn't quite solid and physical and normal as we would expect to see it.